This is LaSalle College Radio, and you're listening to David McGuire interviewing Fred LeBlanc of Cowboy Mouth from New Orleans, Louisiana. So, Fred, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing very well.
Good.
Who are your musical influences?
I'm influenced by a lot of stuff, a lot of old R&B, a lot of punk rock, you know, The Clash, The Sex Pistols, Muddy Waters, Bo Diddley, The Beatles, Nirvana, Green Day. I'm influenced by everything I hear. The list would be more what I'm not influenced by than what I am influenced by.
What are your non-musical influences?
The city of New Orleans, just enthusiasm in general, just basically just trying to put across a good feeling via music, life in general.
Thus, the song, Are You Glad to Be Alive?
Pretty much, yeah. Just basically trying to take a positive approach to living and being alive and enthusiasm.
Cowboy Mouth has been together since the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
What is your secret for lasting so long?
Appreciation for what we have, enthusiasm, knowing that this doesn't happen all the time. People don't find combinations like this. And doing what needs to be done to keep it together. It's a good thing. You know, it's very rare when you have chemistry. It's very rare when people all over the country, all over the world want to come see you. So why stop?
What are your goals for the future of the band?
When we got together in the early 90s, I didn't even think it would last a month, honestly. And to be looking at our 18th year is just like, okay, well, this is what it's all about. So my goal for the band is basically to get us to play in front of more people. Saturday at Jazz Fest, we'll be in front of a crowd of about 50,000 people. You know, we're playing a lot of summer festivals and stuff like that. We're playing Summerfest in Milwaukee. Oshkosh, they have a big to-do there. We're playing Kadot, which is one of the big rock festivals in, I think it's in Wisconsin or something like that. We're basically doing a lot of stuff. So it looks like I'm getting my wish.
I also hear that you're coming out with a new album soon. Is that one of your goals?
Sometime in the fall. We've got it done. I think we've got to finish like one or two more songs, and then we'll be done. But it's good. It's a damn good record.
Do you have a name yet?
No, I do not.
Paul Sanchez was one of the original members, and he left a little while ago.
Like about 2 years ago.
Yeah. How is the band different without him?
When he decided to leave, pretty much at the spur of the moment, I thought it was going to be a lot worse than it was. I mean, people didn't really seem to care. As long as the band is still good and enthusiastic, they seem to be coming out. We're actually doing a lot better numbers in a lot of cities now. It had been something that he'd been wanting to do for a long time in a way. He'd always said that he'd rather play like acoustic music and all that type of stuff. And you know, after a while, you just get kind of tired of hearing it. Okay, go do it, you know. Go do what you want to do.
Some of the songs, for example, Light It On Fire.
Well, Light It On Fire was a song that he wrote a long time ago, but that I sing. And, you know, I kind of arranged it and all that stuff. So I don't have a problem playing that one. But, you know, a song like Hurricane Party, that's not something we really play anymore.
You know? And
no, it's good because I don't get hit in the face with Tootsie Rolls anymore, which is nice. But apart from that, that was the only one we really stopped playing. He had kind of taken himself out of the mix after an amount of time anyway. So when you're dealing with a situation where you're trying to have a team and one of the members of the team doesn't want to be there, it drains the whole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was best for him to go because now we've got four people who really enjoy it, really enthusiastic, and a lot of our fans are telling us that these are the best shows they've seen us do in years. And it's not like saying, you know, he's a bad guy or this or that. It's just life's too short not to enjoy it. I want to have fun doing this, and I'm sure he wants to have fun doing his thing too, and everybody wins.
Win-win situation, right?
Hopefully. I know it's doing me good, so I can't complain.
What's your opinion about downloading music?
The genie's out of the bottle. No matter what opinion there is, you know, it's going to happen, no matter what I think or don't think. But just to kind of set the record straight, I think downloading's great, but at the same time, it takes work, it takes time, and it takes equipment, as well as creativity and energy to put together music. I think if people download it, they should pay for it. As long as the price is fair, it's good. iTunes kind of set the standard for like a buck a song, which sounds fair to me. The record label screwed themselves because we all know the story of buying a $20 CD for one song we like and the rest of the CD is crap. So you can't blame people for just saying no to that anymore. But the labels kind of did themselves a disservice by trying to keep the old standard, which is basically just protecting them and their cush jobs. You know, none of that went to the artist. You know, a lot of that money didn't go to the artist. A lot of that stuff was for basically the presidents and the vice presidents and the vice presidents and the vice presidents of the labels to have their 7-8-figure salaries, you know, to have their really nice houses and their wives with fake boobs and stuff like that. One of the times when we were on a major label, the president of our label used to go to Spain for a week every month just to go, just to chill out. And it's like, I wish I had a job that would allow me to go to my villa in Spain for a week every month. And that money had to come from somewhere.
Well, I went to Spain for 2 weeks.
Lucky so-and-so.
What's your outlook on the record industry today?
Oh, the record industry? Oh, it's terrible. I mean, in the future, there's not going to really be much of a record industry. But that doesn't really hurt bands like Cowboy Mouth because we made our salt being a live band. You know, for so many years, the standard in the music business was you go on tour to promote a record. And my thing was always, no, I make a record so I can go on tour. Eventually, music's just going to be free, and, you know, people are going to make a living by touring and playing live. I wish it wasn't that way, because I'd like to get paid for my recorded efforts.
What are the biggest obstacles for bands?
These days, being able to play live. After that, pretty much anything's, you know, you got to have a decent sense of business. You got to know exactly what you're doing. The era of the stupid musician who just doesn't know what's going on besides the music is over. That's just the way it is.
One of the songs you produced for a band called Dead Eye Dick,
mm-hmm.
called New Age Girl, was in the movie Dumb and Dumber. How did that happen?
They were friends who used to open for Cowboy Mouth back in the early 90s, and they had some good songs. So I said, hey, guys, why don't we go in, take about $3,000, and make an album, and we went in and recorded, got it done, basically in like 3 or 4 days. And then they just started touring, and the song picked up a lot of steam. And then it got on the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack, and I got a really nice gold record out of it.
Tell me a story about a day in your life with the band.
We played a festival in Fort Worth the other day. And about 10 minutes before we went on, I went to go check my drums just to make sure they were okay. And they were on stage, and I noticed there was about 800 people just sitting in chairs, and that was about it. It looked like it was real small towny kind of thing. And then within those 10 minutes, like 6,000 or 7,000 people just swarmed in, right? But some people were still sitting in chairs. So during the first song, I jumped off the stage, went out to where the people had the chairs and stuff, said, hey, see this chair? It's going. Picked up the chairs and started throwing them out of the way and made everybody stand up. It was a lot of fun.
What advice would you give a band that's just starting out?
Learn business, learn how to play, and just remember, it's a great job, but it's a job. Don't get caught up in all the BS of it. It's not Rock Band the game. It's a damn good way to make a living if you're smart. But, you know, just be realistic.
I've been to some of your performances, and I feel like I'm just about to die jumping around in the audience. How much water do you drink, and what else do you do to be able to perform at such a high energy level?
Try to get a lot of sleep, drink a lot of water.
How much water?
Oh, like 1.5 gallons a day. A lot of it's just enthusiasm, dude. I don't do drugs. I rarely drink. It's just an enthusiasm thing. Kind of feeds off itself. When I was a kid, this is all I wanted to do. So I just think about that.
What are the best and worst things about playing in clubs instead of concert halls?
They both have the pros and cons. A club is more intimate, which is a pro, but a concert hall is easier because people are basically going to pay attention, whereas a club, you got to work harder to keep their attention, which is cool. I don't mind that. I like to work. I'm good at it.
And your whole idea of a concert is getting everybody to stand up and participate and jumping around.
Well, I want them to feel the way that we feel on stage. I don't want them to just sit there and observe. I want them to be into it as much as we are.
Leave feeling better about themselves and everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, talking about energy and emotion,
mm-hmm.
what has been your best crowd?
probably the Jazz Fest audience in New Orleans. They're just enthusiastic. They're there to have a good time. 50,000 people there to see you. It's pretty cool, actually.
No one else?
You want to know what the best Cowboy Mouth crowd is? The next one I play to. We are going to be in Birmingham Friday, and we play Jazz Fest Saturday.
Tell me about your earliest interest in music.
My earliest interest was I was born deaf, and my folks used to lay my head on the speakers and crank music. And I could actually sing before I could talk, because I was born deaf because I had abnormalities in my ear canal that couldn't be corrected until I was older. So I didn't get my hearing until I was about 4, but apparently I could sing before I could talk.
I never knew you were deaf.
Surprise.
I know you play drums and guitar and sing as well. And I also know that you compose a little bit of music. What is more difficult and why?
None of it's really difficult. As far as writing, I mean, if you try to write a song when you're not inspired, it's going to suck. So I've just learned not to do that. Playing drums and playing guitar, I mean, there are people out there who have real jobs, who really work, and never really try to make myself think I'm one of them because, you know, I'm incredibly fortunate. I mean, do I work hard? Yeah, I work hard, but at the same time, I work hard playing music. So there are a lot of people who would give their life to be able to do what I do for a living. So I don't really like to say that what I do is hard work, because in the long run, it's really not.
Without naming names, describe the behavior of the most difficult member of Cowboy Mouth.
Right now, I mean, since we made the changes, nobody's really difficult, babe. We all get along. We all had the same goal. We all hang out. We visit each other. We actually get along really, really well. There were conflicts before with other members of the band. The thing about it is, if you're not being true to yourself, then you shouldn't be doing what you're doing.
So what was difficult about the past band members?
Different members would have, like, different agendas or their own agenda. It's like, instead of trying to succeed for the unity of the whole, it'd be like a person who was out for themselves to see what they could get on their own. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But just don't try to ride across the finish line on the band's back. I have no problem with anybody succeeding on their own. I do have a problem with somebody trying to ride off my hard work for themselves.
If John Thomas Griffith, the lead guitarist, decides to leave, do you think Cowboy Mouth will survive?
I don't know. I hope so. We've been doing this 18 years. One of the things I had to realize when Sanchez left was that a lot of the energy and the passion and inspiration of the band comes from me, by being the front man and the main songwriter and yada yada. But at the same time, the band didn't really work until John joined. We had rehearsed before we'd gotten him in for about 3 months, and it was just terrible. And then he walked in the room and everything just fit. Everything literally just fit together. I view John as kind of like my good luck charm. If he ever decided to leave, maybe we'd keep going, maybe we wouldn't. I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it. He's here, he's having a ball right now.
So you're saying if you were to leave, then it would obviously be over, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
What kinds of things really get on your nerves when you're performing or in a studio?
Waste of time. That's mostly in the studio. Time is the most valuable commodity there is. You can't ever get it back. I don't like playing gigs that might be pointless or doing something in the studio that isn't going to really make any sense. Yeah, I enjoy being focused and, you know, making kick-ass rock and roll.
Heck yeah.
Hell yeah.
What do you think you will do after Cowboy Mouth?
Oh, I'll be dead. There's really no reason to stop doing this. Like I said, I didn't think it would last a month, and here we are in our 18th year, so if it ain't broke now, I ain't going to try to fix it.
So, like the Rolling Stones, right?
Hey, you know, I mean, why should a band break up? Why should that happen? Truth be told, the Beatles broke up because of money. The Who got back together because of money. And the Rolling Stones have always been able to do their thing because they've been smart about money. I mean, Mick Jagger is a great frontman and all that stuff. He's also got a degree from the London School of Economics. This is a great way to make a living. I love doing it. I believe in it with all of my heart and soul. Why should I stop? And if anybody has a problem with that, they're welcome to kiss my hairy hiney.
Thank you for your time, Fred.
Ah, good. My pleasure. You got everything you need?
I do.
All right, dude. We'll have a good one, all right?
You too.
Take care, Dave. Bye-bye.
Bye.